Let us worship God. Let us sing in Psalm number 15. Psalm 15. Within thy tabernacle, Lord, who shall abide with thee? And in thy high and holy hill, who shall a dweller be? The 15th Psalm.
Written on
let us read some verses in Paul's second letter to Timothy and in the opening verses. Indeed, we can look at the last verses of chapter 3 and into chapter 4 in the second letter of Paul to Timothy. And we can begin in chapter 3 at verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, mature, fully matured, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And then the last verses. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. And so on to the end of the epistle. Let us join together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we again acknowledge our dependence upon the scripture for all things that we must believe concerning Christ Jesus, and for all things that we must do in order to express that living faith that works by love. We acknowledge, Heavenly Father, that in ourselves there is darkness and ignorance, waywardness and wickedness of every kind, and that our hearts are a very factory of iniquity, and we invent many things for ourselves. We acknowledge, Heavenly Father, that the scripture is given by inspiration of God, that it is a sure word, that it is a final word, that there is no need for any other revelation, no need for special revelations personally or congregationally, but all that is written in the scripture is already fully sufficient for us in every culture, in every generation, in every circumstance of life, in every emergency, in every need for direction. We find the scriptures as a light unto our path. For every moment when we are cast down and in disquietude, the scripture is our consolation. And when we are in doubt, the scripture presents us the way in which we are to go. When we are overconfident in ourselves, the scripture reminds us that we are insufficient for all of these things. And when we are perhaps cast down and discouraged, the scripture lifts us up by reminding us that Jesus Christ has gone this way before, that he has overcome the world, and therefore we are not to be overmuch troubled. In the world we will have tribulation, but to be of good cheer. He has overcome the world for us, and he is with us in our dark moments and in our happy moments. So we give thanks, O God, that the scripture will never be changed. It will never be removed from the face of the earth. We know that men have tried in the past to distort the scriptures, to twist its meaning, to destroy copies of the scriptures. And we know that it cannot be done because the word of the Lord endures forever. And it is faithfully preserved and it is faithfully translated. And so we give thanks, O God, that you have not left us bereft of information and inspiration and encouragements. We come again this morning to present our petitions before the Lord, and we come making confession. Confession of sin always is needful and timely, because sin is a living and a constant reality within our hearts, and we know it. And there is always the promise of grace, and we are invited to come to that throne of grace because we have a great high priest who is able to sympathize with us in our weakness. He has been tempted in all points like as we are, yet he remained and remains without sin, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And we come not only confessing our sins, but acknowledging thy mercy to us. And we give thanks, O God, that mercy is new every morning. Great is God's faithfulness. We acknowledge also our need to pray for others. Our families, of course, always we remember them because we love them and we can never forget them and we can never be unconcerned concerning their relationship to Christ. And so we pray for them. And we give thanks for them, and we pray for our neighbours, we pray for our employers and employees, we pray for those who rule over us in government circles, local and state level and national level. And we remember the nations of the earth. We are commanded to pray for all men, all in authority, not only in our immediate vicinity, and in our immediate nation, but the nations of the earth. In these days of turbulent times, threats and rumours of wars and turbulences and all kinds of disquiets and all kinds of opposition to the church, and we pray for rulers in high places to remember that they are accountable to God not only for their personal lives but for their public office and the decisions that they make, whether good or bad, and their attitudes to God's people, expressing their attitudes to God. So we do pray for those in high office. We remember those who are opposed to the gospel. There are many, perhaps secretly, perhaps publicly, and those we pray for them, as Jesus did for his very persecutors, as they were in the act, the very act of crucifying him, mocking him, spitting and laughing, jeering him. And all he could see and hear was the raucous voices of enemies and mockers watching him and praying for them. He prayed, "Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing." May that be our prayer also, O God, if we face any kinds of opposition, whether light or severe, whether brief or whether prolonged. We pray that our attitude would always be the attitude of Christ, the attitude of Stephen, of whom we read in the 7th chapter in Acts, that when he was being stoned to death, he prayed to the Lord not to lay this sin to their charge. So often, O God, we respond in kind, and when men insult us, we insult them back, and when they slap us, we slap them back. And when they pour out their anger against us, we desire for vengeance so often, because this is our corrupted hearts. The old man, as it were, the natural man, the natural thing to do, but not the spiritual or the Christian thing to do. And so we pray that we would bear no man malice in the sense of desiring their perdition, but rather desiring that all men would come to the knowledge of the truth. Because this is the will of God, and this is the work of God in the gospel. And so as we come then this morning, we have many confessions to make, many petitions to make, many causes of thanksgiving, many for whom we should be burdened, and perhaps are, and perhaps are not. But whatever it is, O Lord, you know, and we come again. Because there is no other place for us to come. There is no other one to whom we can listen. To whom else can we go? Because thou hast the words of eternal life. May we listen this morning then, O God, to the words of eternal life. And may we receive them as good soil receiving good seed. And may we produce fruit for the glory of God's great and holy name. Heavenly Father, we desire the coming of God's kingdom. We desire the glorying of God's name. We desire the doing of God's will on earth as it is in heaven. This is our prayer, O God, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to read in 1 Timothy in chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and reading from the beginning of the chapter. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created, to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, you shall be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith, and of a good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, profits for a little time, But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labour and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Saviour of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And so on. Now the notices are the service this afternoon, 4:30. Again, a recorded service. And on Wednesday, of course, Wednesday meeting at 7 p.m. again, recorded. And the same next Lord's Day, 10:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. As far as we know, that is the arrangement, and these are the times. And as always, we welcome visitors to these services. Those who are regular listeners, of course, we welcome you again. And those who perhaps have come in to us for the first time, we give you a welcome also. And we're glad to have you joining us in these recorded messages in these closed down days. It's the best we can do under the circumstances. And as I keep on emphasizing, it is the preaching of the word. The gospel is something that's meant primarily to be heard. It's meant to be read, of course, but the scripture is given primarily for the man of God, the preacher, that the man of God may be able to teach, exhort, rebuke, and so on, that he may be thoroughly equipped unto all good works, and be able to teach others the right way, the way of Christ, the way of salvation, the way of sanctification. And so we continue to preach, and may God enable you continue to hear. We remind you also of the offering for the Lord's work. Well, these are the notices, and we shall now sing to God's praise and glory in Psalm number 26, the 26th Psalm. And we sing verses 1 to 8 in Psalm 26. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I trusted also in the Lord. Slide therefore shall not I. And we sing to verse number 8, to God's praise and glory.